Obviously, you started circumnavigating on the Phoenix with your family. You were a young girl at 10. Just tell me about life. Tell me about your experience being that little girl traveling the world on that ship, and what kind of memories really come up when you think about the Phoenix and what it really represents.
It was the most magnificent, marvelous, magical experience I wish every child could have. I wish my own children could have had it. They went to school, a regular schoolroom, which is all very well, but we got our education traveling. My mom assigned me to keep a diary. That was for my, she was an English teacher. She assigned me to, you know, she'd check my spelling and my grammar. But after a while, it just became a habit. We were all writers. My parents are writers. My brothers are writers. And it was in my blood anyway, so I kept a journal all my life. That was part of it, was just having the intimacy with the family, having a family in a space of 50 feet by 14 feet, and at sea. I mean, you can't say, hey, I'm going off down the block to see my, you know, run out with my gang, my kids, my friends. And you can't say, well, I'm plugging in my phones, I can't hear you, because, you know, there's no technology. At first, from Japan to Hawaii, first time, we didn't even have electricity. We had, like, oil lamps, like you see on Little House on the Prairie. and a generator. But it was like this intimacy with the family where you really get to know them and appreciate them, and you bond. You bond. I think that was why when we came back around the world and we'd been together 3.5 years on that pleasure cruise, when I was 14 and I was starting to go to high, you know, the school in Honolulu and make friends, when my family said, well, we're going to go do this protest thing and we can leave you here, I said, no way. It's my world. I have a right to fight for it. And we had already bonded so much. It's like what my parents value, I could see that was important to me too. So that and the experiences of just being in different cultures. On a yacht, you don't have to pack and move and be in a different hotel every night. You're in the same place. Well, you know, regular cruise. You can pay money to do that and go to Hawaii, go around the islands, and every day when you wake up, you're in a new place. You might be at a dock, there might be an island in the distance, it might be just nothing but ocean, might be a hurricane, well, typhoons, we have a lot of those, it might be completely plastered and the ocean is just flat, and we're not going anywhere because we're a sailboat, you know. So it just was, there was so much mystery and there were things I came to think were just normal in South Africa. When women would come in from the smaller villages, and they would be barefoot, and they'd have red mud, I guess you'd call it, red clay, mixed into their hair to form all the interesting hairstyles, and they'd have beaded, all kinds of beaded work and so on, in their clothing, bright colored clothing, and you know, they may not have tops on, you know, they may not have a shirt on, just necklaces. I thought that was totally normal. It was like, okay, this is an interesting variation, but I didn't think, well, that is really different from our culture. And it's just like, this is another aspect of life, and isn't life wonderful? Isn't it varied? And through all of that, I came to know a personal God, because I could see His handiwork everywhere we went, in the sky, in the sea, in the people. And there was just no way around it. There's got to be a creator, you know. So that was a part of my development, was coming to realize that.